and Dr. Sarah, which, by the way, thank you for all you do. And all the doctors, absolutely. All the doctors and nurses. They can't take a day off like we do. But you know, that's still not a reason to plan to take time to rest. The same with police. Same with pastors. My day that, you know, normal people would normally rest on Sunday. Well, that's my dad's day. I mean, an afternoon nap, that was the law at the Nickel House, right? He could sleep for an hour. And I'd be down in my room going, oh, hurry up, clock, hurry up, you know. I want to get on with my day. I want to play. But he could just rest. He could just relax because he works hard, right? And my dad would constantly do that. But this is such an important rhythm to establish for yourself. It is not so much this heavy burden that God has placed on you when he says, I command you to take a break. That doesn't sound so hard, does it? It's like a good dad saying to his kids, hey, tomorrow's a big day. Get some rest. You're going to need it. That's kind of what it's like. And so these commands are for our good. Now, this is also a unique command because it is the end of the commands that focus on our relationship, our love for God. After this command, so the first four are basically focused on God, the last six are focused on our neighbor. Jesus was asked this question. He was asked by a lawyer, a religious lawyer, hey, what's the greatest commandment, Jesus? What did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, which is the greatest of all commandments. But the second is like it. What's the second? Love your neighbor as yourself. Altogether, these are what all the law and the prophets hang on. And so we've come now to a break in the commandments. This is the last one that will focus on our relationship with him. But look at what it is. It's a relationship based in rest. Hallelujah. We are not meant to be stressed out creatures. Okay, we are not meant to carry that much stress. Now we do carry stress, there's no doubt about that. But it should be controlled. And one of the control buttons that God has graciously given to us is the command, take a break. Take a break. Now surely that's a command we shouldn't have any trouble with. Oh, don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. Even though all the law and the prophets all hang on these scriptures, we have such trouble. In fact, the very first word, remember. Remember. Remember the Sabbath day. Why would he say remember? Because we forget. And when we forget, what happens to us? Does it hurt God that we forget? No. What happens to us when we forget? We are not created to carry the weight of working 7 days a week, month after month, year after year. It will destroy you. And remember, these commands are given for flourishing, for life. One of the things about the weekend for us, we didn't always on the farm get a Saturday off, but we definitely got Sunday off. But it was usually something to do with some fun. We'd go for picnics, we'd play ball, we'd play catch. There was always something very recreative about it, very relaxing. We'd go down to Pipestone Creek with family and friends. We'd hang out together. And really, that's the essence of what holy Sabbath keeping looks like. It's actually holy to do those things. And mostly because we are created in God's image. And if God takes a break, so should we. He didn't command this out of a vacuum. Wonderful story in the Old Testament. Maybe, probably most of you heard it in Sunday school. Maybe some of you heard it. Maybe some of you haven't heard it. It's a story of them being delivered out of Egypt, out of slavery, going into the wilderness. And guess what happened? They started getting hungry. And in the wilderness, there isn't much there. A few cactus, you know, pick your teeth with one of those things. Nothing much going on. But God, in his graciousness, do you know what he did? He sent food from heaven. Isn't that just phenomenal? I hope that there's a jar of that stuff up in heaven. I want to look at it. Anybody else? It was called manna. In other words, that actually translates into what is it? So every day, there was a moment when the Israelites would wake up and they'd go out and gather their what is it? And they would consume this as a meal for themselves. But in the rhythm of this, God said, you're supposed to collect this for 6 days. On the sixth day, you collect double the amount so that you don't have to collect on seventh day, on the Sabbath. You can take a break from collecting your bread. Very simple, very straightforward, right? Well, in the next breath, guess what the Israelites are doing? They're out there collecting extra throughout the week, and God graciously said, no, 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 you're not listening to me. If you collect extra during the week, what's going to happen to it? It's going to turn to maggots and stink. It actually says it's stench. There was a stench to it. In other words, God was saying, listen to me. Only on the sixth day should you take the time to collect more. And the purpose was clear, that you wouldn't have to collect on the seventh. And so they would finally, most of them finally got it, that they didn't go out there and collect this extra manna. Or some of them forgot, that's part of life, but people would also share. And so there was this community sense to the gathering, right? On that day, they didn't have to gather. And so when God says, remember the Sabbath, he's talking directly about what they've experienced by collecting their manna. God had given them a great experience to help them to remember the significance of what he was doing. You see, manna was God's sign of provision. You see, a day off is counterintuitive to our sinful nature. Did you hear that? I'll say it again. A day off is counterintuitive to our sinful nature. That's why God has to tell them to remember. Why? Well, if you take a day off, you lose money. Chaos gets worse. Stuff happens that wouldn't happen if I was, you know, hand to the wheel kind of thing. And so it's counterintuitive for us to take a day off. But that's not what God says. God says, listen, I'll provide for you so that you can follow the structure, the rhythm that I have given to you for human flourishing. Isn't that a great word, flourish? Do you like to flourish? Hello? Come on, interact with me. I know you guys are probably at home. You're going, yeah, I love to flourish. Are you a flourisher? Well, then take a day off so you can gather your steam so that you can expend it for the next 6 days. That's how you are to flourish. God will provide for you. Say that with me. God will provide for you. Now turn to your neighbor. God will provide for you. That's what this is about. That's what he's trying to say about this. The Sabbath is also, very interestingly, it's the great equalizer. Did you notice who was supposed to take the Sabbath day off? All right, let's go through the list. Don't do any work. Neither you, your sons, daughters, your family, your manslaves, your maiden slaves, even your animals, and the alien in your town. So who was excluded? Everybody was included. Everybody was supposed to take a break. Everybody. Isn't that something? Take a break. It's the great equalizer. Nobody was more special than anybody else. Nobody's job was more important than anybody else's. And even if you were a policeman and you had to work on the Sabbath, you could still plan to take another day. Amen. You can. My Sabbath day is Monday. If you call me on Monday, I probably won't answer you. If you keep calling, I might, simply because it could be an emergency. But if you do send me a text or send me a message or whatever, 9 times out of 10, unless I think it's really important, I don't answer back. I take a break. I answer your questions from Monday, from Tuesday all the way through Sunday. After that, you're on your own. You got to go to God for your answers. Or each other. Just not to the pastor. I know Ryan takes Fridays off. right? He does. He just takes a Friday off. I take a Monday. He takes a Friday. It's all healthy. It's a good way to live. It's meant to bring about flourishing. And everybody is equal in this sense. There is no distinctions made. You all, including myself, we all need a Sabbath rest. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, so the other reason, as I mentioned before, is that one of the reasons that God has given us these commands is so that we learn to live in reality. The reality is, even in our modern times, sociology and psychology, they tell us that you just can't survive if you work all the time. It will kill you. Oh, way to go, God. One for him. He knew it all along. And so we must make sure that we understand that living in reality means that we learn to trust God, that he will provide for us all things. You might think you provide for your family or your needs, and you probably do. You work, right? Hello, you work, so you do provide. But who gives you that? Who gives you that? Do you think that you somehow pulled enough strings to get what you need? And even if you did, God still allowed you to have it. Because you know it says in the scripture, he sends rain on who? The just and the unjust. Everybody gets rain for their crops, for food, for life, for sustaining life. He plays no favorites. And neither should we. And we should understand the reality of living in God's great rhythm of creation. And it is good for us. It is good for us. You know, there's another part of this that I wanted to bring to your attention. When God did do this creating in Genesis chapter 2, it talks about that he took a seventh day, and when he had finished his work, and that's really what that word Sabbath means. Sabbath means to take a break. It means to stop. It means to cease. So again, God wasn't tired. He stopped because creation was full. And that's why the number seven is so important. Seven is the number in Hebrew of completeness and flourishing. So what God was doing was saying, listen, I'm going to stop. I'm going to cease my labor on the seventh day because the number seven is a sign of completeness. I finished. He did what he was supposed to do and what he wanted to do. But in our lives, for us, we need, because we have bodies that wear down, we need the break. We need to rest. We need to sleep. We need to stop so that we can recreate what has been happening inside of us and give us more energy. But that seven was interesting. As I started studying this, I came across a really fun detail I thought I'd share with you, and I hope I don't run out of time, but basically, God didn't end with the Sabbath day. In fact, if you look closely at the way God set up, remember the rhythm, the calendar? This is really quite fascinating. He also commanded that they celebrate seven festivals. So God said, hey, teenagers, party! That's what he said. Feast! Have a festival! Enjoy what I have provided for you and each other. That's what he says. So this is now the seven feasts were called the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, weeks, festivals, trumpets, Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Booths. Now all of those, and I just encourage you to do a study sometime, all of those are amazing. And they all have more than just what they're doing in mind. Every one of these feasts has something to do, if you look forward, into Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the feasts. It's actually very fascinating, and I wish we had time today to go into all that, but you can. You can take a study Bible, or you can take go online and start to say, how does Jesus connect to the feasts of Israel? And just have a read through. And I always caution people, be careful what you read. So much junk out there. All right. And then, every seventh year, so you have your 7 days in the week, you have your seven festivals in the year, and every seventh year, slaves were to be freed, debts were to be forgiven, and the land was to take a break. That's great. So if you found yourself in all kinds of trouble, if you found yourself in debt, and in those days, if you had a debt, oftentimes they would come and take your children because that was labor for them. All right? So one of the justices of God in the seventh year was to allow all the kids to go home. If the dad had to sell himself off as a slave to pay back a debt, that debt was wiped clean and he was told to go home every seventh year. Isn't that beautiful? Of course, there's always people who would abuse it, but God was watching. And you may have gotten away with it maybe once in a while, but eventually it'll catch up to you if you try to cheat the system. All right, then, after a set of 7 years, so 7 times 7 is 49. So after a set of 7 years, the 50th year was called the year of Jubilee. And during this year, this is amazing, this year you were to set everybody free, all the debts were covered, all the captive slaves were returned, all of the property that was taken was given back to its rightful owners, and they were to take a year off on the 50th year. What if you had a year off on the 50th year? What would that be like? You know, you've been working hard for 50 years. I know Al, he's not here this morning, but Al retired this week. 40, what did he say? 45 maybe? 45 years, something like that, very close to that, at the mill. So he's a few years shy of a jubilation, but I'll tell you what, if you go have lunch with him, he's a happy guy. Now, what's next? So he's asking that question, what do I do next? The year of Jubilee is a very important part of God's design of sevens. And again, I'm not going to spend too much more time on this, just to tell you that it demonstrates two things. One is, their entire lives depended solely on the provisions of their Creator. That's one of the lessons of the day, the sevens. Our lives depend solely on the provision of our Creator. And the second way, it was instituted as a way to envision the coming full Jubilee when all things would be restored. See, the year of Jubilee was not just something they had, it was also something they celebrated as a future event. When one day, ultimate Jubilee will come and freedom will come to everyone. Listen to this, folks. No more tears. No more tears. This morning I heard a lady say, I'm tired of crying. At that point, God says, a day is coming. Jubilee is coming. You will have no more tears, no more weeping, no more sadness, no more disease destroying people's lives, no more slavery. Everyone will be free. And it's coming. Woo! It's coming. Sorry, I didn't mean to shock you there. Some of you look a little tired. All right. Sometimes you just need a little woo to get you awake. He's coming back, folks. And today we're celebrating communion. One of the aspects of communion is that we take this in remembrance of what God has done until he returns. And when he returns, Jubilee never stops. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, why is that so important? This is important because Moses takes this command and he changes it slightly. And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 5, which is the second giving of this law, and he changes it ever so slightly. He gives basically the same body, but the reason is not because of the 6 days and the seventh day God rested. The reason in his second giving is this. Remember, again that fancy word, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Thanks for singing that song today. A mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And it just basically means no trouble at all. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. In other words, you need a Sabbath day to help you remember you were slaves. You were slaves. This is very important, and I'll tell you why. Here's the reasons. Are you listening? Are you ready? It signifies that you are free. Slaves are not allowed to take a day off. Did you hear that? Slaves are not allowed to take a day off. He says, remember, you were slaves when you couldn't take a day off, and they drove you harder and harder, and they kept coming back to you with harder, harder things. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 11, it says, the Egyptians appointed taskmasters over the Israelites to oppress them into forced labor. You see, the enemy of our souls is an oppressor. And when you take a break, you shove it in his face. Hallelujah. You say, in your face, devil, I am free. I am free in Jesus. I don't have to work like a slave anymore. Woo! This is good. This is Sabbath. In chapter 3 of Exodus, verse 7, it says, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. The mighty God has seen your misery. Are you miserable? He says, listen, I've seen your misery. I've set you free from your misery. So celebrate a little. Have some fun. Enjoy. Take a day off, kids. Children, get some rest. Tomorrow's a big day. Take a break. This is what happens when slaves are set free. Secondly, slaves are not allowed to worship. This is a very interesting part of it. You see, what ended up happening was the Pharaoh became more and more weirdly obsessed with his slaves, the children of Israel. And so because they were asking for a little break to go away and worship God and offer sacrifices to him, so they were asking for a break, what did he do? He turned the screws inward. See, this is a typical way the enemy wants to control you. He just turns the screws a little tighter. And this is what happened when they came and asked for a break. You know what he did? He said, listen, I know you're used to getting straw to make your bricks. From now on, you find your own straw. But if you drop below the quota of bricks to be made, you will be beaten. And they were. Lots of them were beaten. And so they came back to Pharaoh and they said, we can't keep this pace up. It's not right. It's not fair. And this is what Pharaoh said in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 5. You lazy people, lazy is what you are. That's why I keep saying, that's why you keep asking to let these people go so that you can worship the Lord and sacrifice to him. Now get to work. This is how a task driver drives. Get to work. What you're doing isn't good enough. I want you to make the same quota, but I'm not going to supply as much stuff just to turn the screws. This is the enemy. This is our enemy. He wants you so stressed out that you can't possibly even think of taking a day off. That's what he wants, because he knows it will destroy you. But even more. Even more. You see, God tells us that, and through Jesus, he said, this is what the Father is seeking. He is seeking worshipers that worship him in spirit and in truth, in reality. That's what he wants. But if you're a slave and you try to take a day to worship, oh, you can't have it. In fact, you're called all kinds of names and you're given more to do. And you're beaten if you don't produce. This is what slavery is like. And this is why it is mentioned in the Ten Commandments. And this is why, specifically, it is attached to this commandment. This is time. There is no time for worship. But when we are free, when we are no longer slaves, what do we get? We get time to relax, time to be free. Now, it just so happens our culture, at least somewhat, is kind of centered around this, right? There is a bit of this out there. Some shops close on Sundays, right? So that's an attempt to kind of take a break. And I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. And so it's still maybe in our culture slightly, although they probably may not even know that it comes from the Bible. Most of the time they don't. But taking a break, and we use Sunday to do that because we celebrate the Lord's resurrection on the eighth day. So the seventh day was the picture of completeness and fullness. On the eighth day, the fullness never ends in Jesus. He rose from the dead. Wow. Didn't put those two things together, hey? You see, God is an amazing, he is so smart and he plans so well. The Sabbath rest gives us pause to reflect and to remember that we are to trust God and to remember that we are to worship him in spirit and in truth, to take time in his presence. And once again, my tablet is frozen. So the key thing is that when you look at the two commands and you put them together, you see that Moses changed it slightly, but not so much. He didn't break away from the intention of the command. What he did was he added another reason for it. And so if you go through the Old Testament, one of the things that the Israelites did faithfully was break the Sabbath. And they paid for it dearly. They paid for it dearly. And God would come back to them and say, just keep my Sabbath. That's all I'm asking. Just keep it. And they wouldn't. And by the time Jesus came along, the Sabbath had become some form of legalistic, rule-driven thing. In fact, in one of the stories Jesus was going through, in Mark chapter 2, Jesus was going through the fields. His disciples were hungry, so what were they doing? It was a Sabbath day, and they were plucking grain heads. And the Pharisees came and said, hey, they're breaking the Sabbath. And so Jesus rebuked them with a teaching from the Old Testament about how they weren't. But then he says, the Sabbath is made for mankind, not mankind for the Sabbath. That's a very good principle. The Sabbath is made for you and for me. We weren't made for it. Hallelujah. You see, because that's just another spiritualized version of bondage, isn't it? That's all that is. It's another spiritualized version. And then he says, but the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. I am the Lord of the rest. I am the King of this break. And when you come to me, and he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and cast your cares on me, take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest. Rest. Say that word with me. Rest. Come on, I want to hear it. Rest for your weary souls. When you come to Jesus, you come to the Lord of the Sabbath, and he will bless you with eternal Sabbath, eternal rest. Isn't that awesome? You can now walk with him the way he wanted it to be, that his creation would work with him and walk with him in restful pace. Isn't that good? That's our God. And Jesus comes along and he breaks all the rules. In fact, one of the reasons why they put him on a cross was because he kept breaking the Sabbath rules they created. They put him there because of it. That's one of the reasons. And so he, Jesus, is our Sabbath. And the other thing about it is, the last thing about it is, it's connected to Jesus because when you think about being set free, it's another word, there's another word for it, it's called being saved. He was their salvation. So the Sabbath rest is connected to their salvation, even as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is connected to our salvation. And when the two meet inside of you and I, we enter into a rest of soul. I don't know how many times, I can't count, in the years that I've been a pastor, and even before then, I have heard people say to me, when I believed, I was filled with such peace. I was filled with such peace. It was so peaceful inside, it kind of scared me a little. Inside, I was at rest. For the first time in my life, I met Sabbath. I met Sabbath. We're going to celebrate communion now. And I know you have those little cups there. And Pastor Ryan's going to come and lead us through our communion time. But before he does, I want you just to take a minute. I know you're grabbing your cups already, so I'll give you a chance to do that. I want you just to take a minute and reflect on what has been said about the Sabbath. First of all, it's a rhythm. It's the rhythm of a creation. And it's like a good dad who says, hey, kids, get some rest. Tomorrow is a big day. It's for your good. It's for your flourishing. And the second thing is, he wants us to remember that it is through him we are saved. It's through him that we find Sabbath rest. And the invitation is for all of you here this morning and for all of you online watching. He says, come to me. Go to Jesus. He will give you rest. Rest for your weary souls. He will give you Sabbath every single day of the year. That's what he'll give you. Forever. And when Jubilee comes, it's just icing on the cake. So Pastor Ryan, please come. He's going to lead us through a time of communion together. Everybody have cups? And our worship team is going to come too.
In Mark, Jesus is having the final supper with his followers, and it's when he institutes the Lord's Supper. And at the end of it, listen to what he says. It says, truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Another part, he says, I wouldn't eat it with you. It's that promise that one day he will eat the bread and drink the cup with us. And as we celebrate communion this morning, that's what we look forward to. We remember his broken body and his shed blood. And we look forward to that final rest that we will enter with him when we will celebrate communion with Jesus himself, the one whose body was broken and whose blood was shed. And so I invite you this morning, as we've listened to this message on Sabbath rest, I know I was challenged because I thought, how many times have I believed the lie, what you're doing just isn't good enough. Just do more. Work harder. And Jesus says, no, rest. Find rest. And so the worship team is going to lead us in a song, and I just want to encourage you to, in this time, seek him for your rest. Ask him, God, where have I been trying to do this all in my own strength? Where have I given in to the lie that I need to work, that I need to strive to do it all on my own? And where do I need to surrender to you and find that rest?